I think the work that Dr. Ted McDonald's done is a nice segue into my work. What I have done here is a workforce assessment of two large public health departments. This work is part of my doctoral dissertation for the University of Kentucky. First, I wanted just to thank the APHA section, a subcommittee on workforce development. To continue research in workforce development is so important. Second, I'd like to, actually this is first, I'd like to thank Dr. James Holsinger, my dissertation committee chairperson. His constant support and guidance has been invaluable. And Dr. Douglas Scutchfield for his support, and the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation for their support of my research. And I guess my employer, the University of Cincinnati, because without them, I wouldn't be here today. These are the learning objectives that I developed. Ironically, before I'd even started my research, I thought, you know, let's do this in the academic way. I'll set up learning objectives and then move into my research. So what I've done is some measurement of intra-organizational trust within public health workforce setting. What initiated, I'm going to take you back a step, what started me on this journey of looking at intra-organizational trust and dynamics of race and gender within the workforce was mirrored in what I see in this room today. As I would attend public health meetings, I would see mostly women at the collegial level here in the room. Actually, we're at 80-20. I was being neurotic and counting people. So it's the 80-20 rule applied to management and leadership and professional lives. 80% of the folks in this room are women. And then when I would go, I'm a member of the AOHC of Ohio, the Ohio Public Health Association, health commissioners. And I would go to the room where the health commissioners would meet, and that was not mirrored in the leadership. We would be in the leadership, and they're actually in Southwest Ohio. We have 28 health departments, and we have 3 women that are serving as health commissioners in that region. So it's highly dominated at the leadership level by particularly white males. So I'm thinking, man, is there something going on that differentiates access and position within public health? So I figured, who better to study this than a white guy? So I start my research. So I look at the effects of gender and race on workforce, and applying that, you always have to have a theory. So all of you in health promotion, I just went through the whole candidacy process with theories and models in health education. There's a lot of theories and models in management too, so I look for a good theory to guide my research, which I felt the leader-member exchange was a good one, and I will cover that in the presentation. Here's the purpose of this study. I won't read things to you painfully here, but what we look at is what they call dyadic pairs within the workforce. My relationship with Ted, my relationship with you, my relationship with you. So that's the dyadic pair, specifically the relationship between the worker and their immediate supervisor. And I think I'll address your question of that relationship at the individual level. So going back into the overview of the literature, a lot of what I found was the good work of Kathleen Gebe, Dr. James Scutchfield, Robert Wood Johnson Foundation is being very progressive now on funding what we're looking at in workforce development. Much of it has been done at the organizational level, but not the individual level. So what is differentiating specifically in my research trust from dynamics within the organization? To date, I have not found anything published on this specific topic. So the theory goes, the LMX theory goes, that leaders develop strong relationships with few employees. So that defines either your in-group or your out-group status. So it's much more of a social psychological theory. If you feel that you're in the in-group, you probably aren't. Again, the 80-20 rule applies. Leaders have a very small network of trusted in-group folks, and the out-group is a lot larger. Essentially, Dr. John Butler, who is actually emeritus faculty member now, he developed in 1992 the Conditions of Trust Inventory, the CTI. That's the instrument that I used. It had test, retest reliability, and it was actually, I felt, just an effective tool to collect the data that I was seeking to collect. So as far as a study design, this is considered a full network, much like Ted's work. I looked at the full employee network. So as far as research, all you epidemiologists out there, there was no subgroup. It was the whole workforce of two different health departments. The SurveyMonkey tool, how many are familiar with the SurveyMonkey? Raise your hands really high. It's amazing. I think it's going to suffer the same problem that 15 years ago I saw when I thought that the CADI, computer-aided telephone interviewing systems, came out. I thought, this is the best thing since sliced bread and data collection. The SurveyMonkey is wonderful. People are so used to using computers and responding, and you can easily program your data collection tools. I think within 2 years it's going to become overused and we won't see it being functional anymore. But this is a non-randomized study design. Also, you can assure an anonymity and confidentiality in the SurveyMonkey because you can either click on capture the IP address or don't capture. So I did the don't capture, mostly because in my IRB document, I did not want anybody to think that I had access to who was who within the dynamics of collecting data. So the sample that I used, actually the Cincinnati Health Department is a fairly large metropolitan health department with a lot of additional services that aren't provided in your more rural health departments. There's a total number of employees of 422. And again, with your work, one of the questions was on sampling and population. Today, it's got to be different. They had 50 open spots that weren't filled at the time due to collective bargaining unit negotiations that were delaying hire processes. So as far as a workforce evaluation and assessment, the window of opportunity within that one moment defines your results. So tomorrow they could have an additional 50 employees if those spots are released. Northern Kentucky is not in a collective bargaining unit, and I don't think Northern Kentucky workforce changes as quickly as the Cincinnati Health Department. They have 160 employees, and just to tell you, one of the challenges in my research, being a resident of Ohio and a student and a candidate at the University of Kentucky program, I thought, I really want data from both the Commonwealth and the state. So the first health department, one of my student colleagues at UK, I asked her if I could use data collection at her health department. She said, sure. So a few weeks later, I said, now, you know, I'm looking at race and ethnicity, and she says, well, that's going to be a challenge because there are no people of color in my health department. And I said, you're kidding. And it's a fairly large health department. So just to do the analysis, there's not a lot of application to, if you've seen one health department, you've seen one health department. The health department selection was a tremendous challenge. So Northern Kentucky was my second choice. Although it was convenient, I was able to easily cross the river from Cincinnati to Northern Kentucky, and we are next door neighbors. Starting the data collection, again, I looked at a book, an old book, it was written in the 80s, but on total quality research design. And part of my response rate, as high as it was I stepped out into the public health workforce and I met with the employees at all staff retreats a few times before I even started the data collection so that they had a level of comfort with me. The initial introduction, I started just to attend the management and leadership team meetings of both health departments, and then I would attend full retreats with the public health workers. When I went to data collection, the last staff retreats came 2 days, ironically, within the same week. I thought, this is just a blessing that these are arranged the way they are. So within 2 days of the data instrument, the SurveyMonkey link going out to the public health employees, I was in a retreat with them. So I said, I need you, I need you, I need you to complete this survey. So that was a fairly successful procedure to just get out there and let them know and give them a level of comfort with the survey and know that it was anonymous. The second thing, within the first week, I sent a follow-up reminder. And I think my response rate, well, my response rates are pretty good. The overall measurement on the conditions of trust inventory, these are the 11 subscales. So how the instrument is designed, there are 4 items per subscale to measure each of these different constructs of trust, the dimensions of trust. The 3 that you can see that are bolded, fairness, loyalty, and overall trust, those were the 3 that I found significance in with regard to my data analysis. So it would be nice to have significance on all 11, but I felt that, you know, getting significance on 3 was pretty good. So the first level of data analysis, which everybody's comfortable with, is descriptive statistical analysis. I did a simple comparison of means. Actually, I'm still working on a simple comparison of means, splitting the group into workforce types, looking at the standard deviations of the 11 items by the 4 items. Also, one item within the survey is in reverse. So do you feel confident that your employer or that your manager can be trusted? The reverse, one item per each 11 subscale item. I do not tend to trust my supervisor would be an example of the one reverse. So I had to reverse code that for the data analysis. The second level after the descriptive data analysis was to look at the correlation. So I ran Pearson's R on the 2x2 items. So looking back, so I would run availability by loyalty and see how they correlated. So each of the p-values was less than 0.0001, so everything was statistically significant with regard to the correlations. The other thing with the Pearson's R, there was moderate to strong within each. I looked up on one of my textbooks. Traditionally, anything above a 0.5 is strong, so this was pretty good. 0 is no relationship. And the final level, which everybody loves, is the regression. And I did put my regression model up because I felt so good about being able to do a regression model. So from the management world, we don't get into the biostatistics world too often. So this is my regression model. And what was included in the model was sex of supervisor, race of supervisor, sex of respondent, race of respondent, years of experience, and that was continuous. Most people had been employed for more than 10 years in both health departments. Cincinnati had more years by 5 on average. Age of respondent, and again, this is mirrored in the literature in public health. We have an aging workforce, and all of them were fairly close to getting into the retirement area. Division, I dichotomized clinical and non-clinical because I did not have significance. I had 5 subdivisions, so I had community outreach, community health education. Those were both dichotomized into clinical. Then I had environmental health, vital statistics, and central administration. Those were the 5 categories, but I did have to condense them. And then location. Location was either Cincinnati Health Department or Northern Kentucky Health Department. So the results, what I found was there was statistically significant relationships on all 3 loyalty measures, which were gender, race, and job type, being clinical or non-clinical. The overall trust measure was statistically significant for both gender and race, and the fairness measure was statistically significant by race. And again, you can see, actually, gender is always easy to dichotomize, but the race. I did have the federal race categories, but within the two health departments, I had such low numbers within any of the other categories that they had been dropped for the analysis. So it turned into an issue of black or white for me, so I just dichotomized race too. These are what I feel are the limitations of this evaluation. Generalizing to other health departments is not really appropriate. This should be taken within itself. And one of my student colleagues who's in the room, I just heard this about a month ago in my lecture, and I thought, this is perfect. Research is done to prove something, and evaluation is done to improve something. So this should be considered an act of evaluation. And I'm not seeking to prove anything. I'm seeking to improve the conditions that we see within our public health workforce. The response rates, I don't know why I put this clear at the end, but we did have an 81% response rate in Northern Kentucky, which is unbelievable in survey research. And I had a 50% response rate. I also wanted to do some statistical analysis on second reminder, but both response rates improved by 10% when I sent the reminder out. So I think maybe someday that all those researchers that study response rate, there might be some statistical analysis in different initiatives to get your response rate up. So I have six conclusions, and these are all written the same way. I'm just going to explain the first one, and am I close to my time? The average loyalty outcome for women is 0.75 units higher than for men, with a point estimate of 7.5 within the 95% confidence interval of 0.31 to 1.18. So it doesn't cross zero, it's statistically significant. So what that means is on the 5-point Likert type scale, and you used a 7-point, on the 5-point scale, women score almost a full point higher on loyalty when compared to men with their immediate supervisor. So I'll move on quickly through the other findings. On average, the loyalty outcome for whites is 0.39 units higher than for blacks, again with the confidence interval. So on the 5-point Likert type scale, whites studied score 3.39 units on that 5-point scale higher for loyalty as compared to blacks.
Is it that they value loyalty more, or is it that they are more loyal?
The question was, do they value loyal, or are they more loyal? It's a sense of loyalty, self-report. So I feel, and I wish I'd brought the survey instrument. It'll be in a publication, I hope, soon. But I have a sense of, I'm trying to think of one of the questions. My supervisor provides access on an ongoing basis. So it's my sense of loyalty to my supervisor. So that's conclusion four. Overall trust for women was higher than for men. Overall trust among, again, employee to supervisor for whites was higher than for blacks. And overall fairness outcome for whites was higher than for blacks. And I want to go back, I kind of blew through one of these quickly. I thought this was one of the more interesting findings, was that, and I'll, how much time do I have? 2 minutes? I'm on the 2-minute drill, or am I over?
No.
I'm over. I'm sorry. For non-clinical workers, having higher rates of trust than clinical workers, I thought, that doesn't make a lot of sense, especially since your clinical employees tend to be more highly dominated by women than men within public health. So I start thinking about what's going on here. I believe if I were to step back in and talk to the folks there, the clinical people are out in the community, and they don't have the close relationship with their supervisor that, say, vital statistics folks that are in the office every day. So I think access to your supervisor is yet another variable, is how often can you access and have a connection with your supervisor? Do you see them on a daily basis? Clinical people may be in the rural district and come into the office once a week. So that's certainly going to affect that relationship. So those are the six conclusions. This is my contact information. I did not bring any PowerPoints because I travel light. But if anyone wants to contact me, I am william.mace@uc.edu. And there's all my, and this will be on the APHA website. Thank you. I'm sorry I'm over. And I guess let's hold questions till everyone's done.
Ted got to take questions because he didn't take his 20 minutes. He only took 10. We'll save everybody else's questions unless, of course, they go short as well. Then they can entertain questions. Next we have, and forgive me if I screw it up, Kamahana Hakulani. Close. and she is with the Native Hawaiian Health Scholarship Program.
Good morning. My name is Kamahana Hokulani Farrar, and I'm with the Native Hawaiian Health Scholarship Program of Papa'ololokahi, and I'm very happy to be here. Let me just get... Thank you. Sorry,